Somebody ought to lift your hands and give God praise. Thank you, Jesus, for your power tonight. I love you, I praise you, I magnify you. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, California, let's have church on the first night. No such thing as a warm-up. We've come to lead change. Somebody ought to lift your hands and magnify Him. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Everybody shout with me, the devil is fixing to have a bad week. And it starts tonight. Turn around, look at somebody next to you and say, don't get in my way this week. Come on, turn around to three people and tell them, don't get in my way this week. Because I plan on leaving different than I came. Come on, look at somebody by you. Tell them, don't get in my way this week. All right, come on, young lady. Look at somebody, tell them, don't get in my way. I plan on leaving different than I came. Why is there anybody that plans on leaving changed? Come on, somebody ought to just make your mind up to shout. Somebody ought to make your mind up to run. Come on, somebody praise Him. We got a few about, we're about at 1/3 against 2/3. 1/3 worshiping, 2/3 watchers. Would you look at somebody and say, I'm not going to give in to the peer pressure. I'm going to be a worshiper. Yeah, come on, California. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Feel a little bit better? Turn around to three people and tell them this isn't going to be a dead camp. Come on, some of the young ladies need to turn around and tell somebody, this ain't going to be a dead camp. Because I'm going to make it alive. I'm going to pray. I'm going to worship until God shows up. Yeah, yeah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Somebody shout glory. Somebody say hallelujah. Amen. Good to be in California. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I want you to turn around and look at somebody. I want the young ladies to look at two other young ladies and say, I look good tonight. And I want the young men to look at each other and say, I don't look too bad tonight. Come on. But now I want you to add something to it. I want you to look at him and tell him, in spite of how good I look, I may not look so good when I get out of church tonight, because I'm going to have church. If you look too good to praise Him, you look too good. Come on, somebody. If you look too pretty to shout, you're too pretty. If you're too handsome to shout, you're too handsome. Come on, California. I'm going to make up my mind to praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to lift your hands now without any music. And I want you to make up your mind. I'm not leaving like I came. Come on, lift your hands and make a commitment to the Lord. Come on, nothing but heartfelt praise. Come on, staff. Come on, campers. Come on, preachers. Come on, preacher's wife. Everybody that's in the house has got to leave different.
Testing one. One. Testing.
I don't want that. I don't want that. Just no feedback. Come on, somebody ought to praise Him tonight. Nobody's excluded from a move of the Holy Ghost. Nobody's excluded from participating. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Do you have your Bibles? Everybody that's got your Bible, shout amen. Thank God and bless you for bringing your Bible. 1 Samuel chapter number 4. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Hallelujah. Thank you to everybody that's helping make this camp a success. And it is already a success because I hear you have a record crowd this year. So we are thankful. Thank you all the staff, counselors, dorm moms and dads, and preachers' wives, sound people, music people, youth staff, and everybody. Campers, I think before we even get started this week, you need to give them a clap, hand clap of thanks in advance for what they're fixing to do for you this week. Would you clap for all the helpers, music staff, counselors, cooks, janitors? Come on, give them a big hand clap, campers. We couldn't have camp if it wasn't for them. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse number 1. And the Lord, word of the Samuel, came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against Philistines to battle and pitched beside Ebenezer. And the Philistines pitched at Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." Notice, when it comes, it may save us out of the camp or out of the hand of our enemies. Verse 9, "Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight." And the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten. And they fled every man into his tent, and there was very great slaughter. For there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. The ark of God was taken. Everybody say, the ark of God was taken. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain. Verse 19, "And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child near to be delivered. When she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains came upon her. About the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, 'Fear not, for thou hast borne a son.' She answered not, neither did she regard it. She named the child Ichabod, saying, 'The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband.' And she said, 'The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken.'" I want to preach on this first night of this great camp in California, and it is an honor to be here. We thank you for letting us come and asking us to come. Thank you for bringing my wife and children with me. She is the most beautiful lady in the building. You will not have a hard time picking her out. Amen. I won't even tell you where she is. It's just very obvious who she is. And thank you for bringing... You don't have to say amen. I'm right anyhow. Amen. Glad to have my wife and kids with me. My son had just had surgery 2 weeks ago on his hip. His hip joint was coming apart with a knuckle coming out of the socket, and they had to pin it together. So he doesn't get to play ball this week, but we're going to do our best to have fun anyhow. We're thankful the Lord has brought them. I want to preach to you tonight on this first night, on this subject. Don't call me Ichabod. Don't call me Ichabod. Would you look at three people around you and tell them, "Don't call me Ichabod"? Hallelujah. Now, Lord, I thank You for these great campers that are here. Hundreds of young people from the Western District that have come, taking a week out of their summer right before the beginning of school to go away, to pull away from the life of the summer and to come in contact with Your holy presence this week. God, we thank You for every staff member, every counselor, musician, cook, preacher, preacher's wife, saints of God that are here. God, we ask You on this first night to let this be what would normally be the last night of a camp. Let this be a great beginning. Let every heart be stirred tonight. In the name of Jesus, because this is the end time. The rapture is upon us. The revival that You have told us would come is here. Let us be prepared to reap what is ours. In the name of Jesus, would you lift your hands and thank the Lord for what He is about to do? Thank You for the change that is coming. Thank You for the power of God that we feel. In the name of Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. This is not an unfamiliar text that we read to you tonight. And that is by purpose. I believe the Lord wants us tonight on this first night to not worry about our neighbor. To not worry about the young man or the young lady that maybe you have already spotted among the stuff. To not worry about the ball games that will be played. Can't have youth camp without playing a little bit of ball, but neither can we have youth camp by playing a whole lot of ball and having a little bit of church. I didn't get too many amens, but I'm right anyhow. But on this first night, if we as individuals can focus upon our own lives, if we can get our eyes off of the upcoming events about the young man or the young lady, or what men, young men you want on your team, or what young ladies you want on your team, and we can start this camp out on the right foot, bodily exercise profited little. It does profit a little bit, but it's only a little bit. But I want you to understand that worship and prayer and preaching and praise and committing yourself to God will profit you 100 times over. Hallelujah. I want you that are here maybe tonight, and maybe we need a hand raise of young men and young ladies that are not ashamed to say, I've come without the Holy Ghost, but I don't plan on leaving this camp without it. I plan on leaving with it. If you're here and you don't have the Holy Ghost but you want it, would you lift your hand tonight? Is there anybody? One maybe hand that's honest. God bless you, young man. Two hands, three hands of honest people in this camp that need the Holy Ghost. And I believe that there would probably be more. But I want to tell you that at least these three will receive the Holy Ghost. They may not be on the ball field. They may not hit the winning shot or hit the winning home run. But they will leave full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. You can look at your own heart. And you can look at your own soul. Doesn't matter really how tonight that you look on the outside, and we'll preach holiness enough to make you shout. But you can put a tuxedo on a pig, but he's still a pig. I want to preach beyond the veneer of an outward appearance, which is very important. And without holiness, no man can see the Lord. But I've seen too many people that looked holy, whose heart was immoral, and they ended up committing a sin that their outward appearance couldn't keep them from. I didn't get too many amens there. I want to reach down deep into the heart, into the mind, and into the soul of young people tonight. I want to set a course in this camp. That is a course that is after God. That is a course that is reaching for God this week. A course that is trying to apprehend God. Paul said, after many missionary journeys, after being stoned and snake bit, he said to the church, I have not apprehended what I was apprehended for. I have not seized what I was seized for. You are not apprehended to just make it to heaven. Your salvation did not come to you to give you an inbuilt goosebump machine. Out of the quick beat of a drum or an organ, you're in the aisle to dance and spin around. But when God saved you, He apprehended you. He came upon you for a purpose. He did not apprehend you for a later time in your life. He did not seize you for a time when you get married and you become a young adult, a tithe payer in the church. But God seized you for a purpose now. I said now. Some of you may never get married. Some of you may never get your driver's license. Maybe most of you got it. Some of you maybe will have children. Never will get to Bible school. So what are we to do? Are we to do what has become the normal in Pentecost? Wait till we grow up. And then get serious with God about our relationship. Having been saved since we were 10 or 8 or 12. And then when we get 22, all of a sudden try to break out of the rut. And become a soul winner. And a preacher. Or a preacher's wife. Or a Sunday school teacher. I come to tell you tonight, if God filled you with the Holy Ghost when you were 8, He didn't plan on waiting till you got 18 or 25 to do what He wanted you to do. Something's got to happen in this camp that you realize I wasn't just filled with a goosebump machine and a spirit that ignites me whenever the devil shows up, but I have been seized for a purpose. Touch two people around you, tell them I've been seized. Been seized. In our text, sin has ravaged the home of a preacher. I know where I'm at tonight. Apparently the majority of us already have the Holy Ghost. Here in our text, sin has moved into the preacher's house anyhow. Immorality has invaded the church. Sin, adulteries, and prostitution. I'm preaching to young people in 1997 that now, at the ages of 10, 11, and 12, the spirits of the devil and of hell have been loosed upon us. Spirits of adultery, spirits of fornication, spirits of immorality. And it has moved into the church. Church girls becoming pregnant by church boys. I say girls and boys because when you do that, you act like a girl and a boy. I say that it has moved into Holy Ghost filled. Young ladies and young men. How in the world could the devil move in to the church, into your youth group, or into your life? Hair up, dress down, long length, sleeves decent. And yet still a spirit of ungodliness show up. I want to tell you that sin has invaded this house. It has penetrated the church. And the glory of God has become secondary. The move of God's Spirit, the dancing cloud of the Shekinah, the burning embers of the pillar of fire, it has become secondary. Let me tell you tonight, young people, that when the manifestation of God's glory in your life becomes secondary, sin will become uno, number one. Where there is a lack of hunger for the Spirit of God, there is an increased appetite for sin. Look at your neighbor and tell him it's getting tight. But it's right. We went to the beach today down, I can't remember the name of the town, just down the road a ways. Pismo. There we were astounded at how we stuck out. 10, 11, 12-year-old boys sitting on the steps of the subway firing up a joint. 10, 11, 12-year-old girls running around barely clothed, hugging on each other, sin running rampant. Wanted to spend a good part of the day down there scoping out the territory, looking for some fun things to do. Couldn't stay much more than 45 minutes. More than you can almost bear. What is it that's going on? I'm saying that that same spirit that was at Pismo Beach has moved into our text. Moved into the preacher's house. Moved into the sanctuary. They say, wait a minute, we're apostolic, holiness believing people. The devil ain't afraid of that. You may be in a church that is a holiness believing church and you ought to thank God for it. And if you ain't in one, you ought to pray yours will be. But that in itself will not be a deterrent to the enemy. It came time for battle. People of God began to be defeated. And they began to cry, let's go get the ark. And when we get the ark, it will save us. Let's go get that box covered with gold. Two angels on the top of it. And when it comes in, we'll be all right, Brother Johnson. Let's get the choir fired up. Let's get the soloist to sing. Young man or the young lady decides to come out of the world and figures out that the quickest way to get away from it is join it. I get a part of it. It will save me. If I can go back to it, it will save me. The Bible says, and I skipped over it in my text, that whenever they went and got it and brought it into the tabernacle or among God's people, they fetched it out of Shiloh. When the people of God saw it, they began to shout over it. A nice sermon. A pretty song. All the parts together. All the points made. What if it's just in it? If I could just get to camp, it. If I can just get among 600, it will save me. I've been heavy for 2 days, maybe just for a few young people. But you come here and thank God you at least came. But if you're expecting it to bring you out of your immorality, and it to get you out of your addictions, and it to get you out of your private sins, it will never deliver you. It will never keep the scissors out of your hair. It'll never keep the earrings out of your ear, boy. It'll never keep the bottle out of your mouth. It is powerless. It's just a box. Why? I've never understood it. I grew up at church. Not in it, at it. There's a difference. Most of the young people in our little youth group of 25 or 30, at least two-thirds of them at this point, are lost. There's a young man just growing up in a saint's home. Just, my dad retired from the Air Force 20 years. Then went to work for Sears and sold washers and dryers for 20 years. Only on the church board one time, rotating board, had his 2 years as all. Never up front. It always amazed me how that somebody that was in church could turn around and walk out on God. And most times it was the people that you never thought would turn their back on God. I was at a pastor's church a few years ago preaching in the midst of revival on a Sunday morning. I was preaching to the young people. The Holy Ghost dealt with me that they had been in a rut and that they were accepting the fact that some of the young people were losing out. Then that the pastor jumped up and took the mic and said he just realized that in 20 years that always the young people that backslid were the most prized and the prime and the most talented. If you're here tonight and you can sing, the Holy Ghost is after you. If you're here tonight, young man, and you feel a call to preach, the Holy Ghost is after you. If you're here, young lady, and you feel a call to the mission field, the Holy Ghost is after you tonight. Do not think just because you feel a call of God that it is a deterrent against a backsliding. Now we'll shout this week. Proved all we got to do is get you to shout. Just crank the music up a little bit and y'all will take off. Now whether it was Holy Ghost or not, I don't know. We'll find out. This is the best way to find out. Because you see, when we get it going, come on up here, Sister Jones. Let's get it going. Give me some of that stuff we were just doing while we were doing. Come on. See, all of a sudden, something just kind of clicks in you. You go, oops. Stop. I mean, she didn't no more hit that and you went, oops. I like it. But honey, if you're after it and not the glory, you ain't got it. We got to leave this camp with a desire. Where is the glory of God in my life? If you got a call, thank God. If you can sing, thank God. But somewhere in this camp, you've got to say, I want more than talent. I want more than a feeling. I want His glory. Turn around and look at somebody and tell them, I want more than a box. You can be seated. What is the cry of young people in California? A district that is eat up not as a district but as a state with sin. Cities with millions of people. Los Angeles within an hour's drive circumference of that city. More people in that 1 hour's drive than there is in the whole state of Oklahoma, Arkansas, Kansas, and Missouri. In one city. Who's going to reach San Francisco? Who's going to reach Los Angeles? Thank God for our churches that are there. But I talked to Brother Walden the other night, and Brother King, who's just now getting ready to start a church. And he said, we need 40 more churches within 20 minutes of my church where I'm going to start. It's not going to come from an outside California. What would happen in this camp if the young people of California said, devil, you can't have my state. You can't have our cities. Look at somebody next to you and tell them it might be you. You can be seated. Tragedy of the story, and I'm going to skip over a lot of it, was that when they cried and shouted because the ark had come among them, the Philistines were not afraid. They're not afraid of how you look. I watched them today as they looked at us. I didn't see anybody. Didn't see anybody tremble at the beauty of my wife and her godliness and the beauty of my daughter's uncut hair and my wife's uncut hair and unpainted face. Nobody trembled. Nobody trembled at Brother Jones. Nobody trembles at my card that says I'm a preacher. It will not save us. Now, I'm not going to spend, I'm going to say one more disclaimer. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the things that I've mentioned. And I'm not disqualifying the way we dress and look. But too many of us, what was it that caused our young people to backslide? It was they depended on it. And they thought, once I get this right, and this right, and this right, and this right, then the devil can't touch me. Lie, 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 lie. The only thing the devil fears is that there is one God. He is a holy, holy, holy God. Somebody in California has got to get wild after God this week. Somebody's got to get rabid. Somebody's got to get crazy. I got to find God. Where's God? My God, somebody, where is God? You can be seated. Where is God? Somebody say, where is God? That's not everybody. Where is God? I've been in churches. Churches that didn't believe holiness and churches that did believe holiness. Go in there and put up weather vanes. Looking for God. Telescopes, binoculars. God ain't in the house. Preaching to a generation upon whom the ends of the world have come. If you're going to affect your city and your friends, you are going to have the glory of God. I know you know that. I know you know that. You want nice little church. Don't get it too loud. Don't get it. Don't run too much. I watched some of you as soon as these shouters took off. I watched some of you like it. Not expect that in a Baptist camp and a Presbyterian and a Lutheran camp, but an apostolic camp, apostolic kids rolling their eyes, huffing and puffing. Hey, friend, what are you here for? I tell you what some of us are here for. Where is the glory? You can be seated as I close. In 1997, there must be a cry from young people of the California district who are not crying for just the furniture and the structure and the plan and the program. in a computerized age, in a facsimile age. We've got to have more than a program. There's got to be a cry from this generation that says, where is the glory? A computer won't help a drug addict. A program won't help an alcoholic. But the glory! Get your eyes off of the structure. Look for the cloud. Look for the fire. Listen for the wind. You can be seated. The tragedy in the closing is this. That a young man is born. And a young man is named. Nothing is done about it. It was not named Ichabod because it sounded pretty. Not named Ichabod because it rhymed with his last name. The way we pick names out for the kids now. Joanna Brooke Goffman. Gregory Paul Goffman. Without any real wondering what the names meant, we chose ours. But these people were named for a reason. Ichabod had nothing to do with it. His grandpa overlooked sin. His dad became a hypocrite. And Israel was focused on the structure and the program. Instead of walking outside the tent and looking for that cloud shaking. Instead of waking up in the middle of the night with insomnia, pulling the tent flat back, just taking a check, looking for a red cloud of fire. They just walked out and looked for the tent. Looked for badger skin. Bloody hide. Their eyes never looked up. When they got in trouble, they just wanted a box. They go to battle with a box. 30,000 men are destroyed. People of God. Doesn't make any sense. The omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. All-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere God. On your side. And you lose. Death. Barrenness. The news came to Phinehas' wife. Who's pregnant with a child. Pain of the news of a father-in-law destroyed. Her husband killed. Causes labor to come upon her. In her screaming. In her delivery. At the door of death. The child is born. She names him Ichabod. The women think she's crazy. Nobody wanted Ichabod on their team. Nobody wanted no glory on their team. Tragedy is that we read very little of Ichabod. And what we do read, we don't read what we ought to have read. We should have read, Brother Booker. And Ichabod went to the courts and changed his name. Wasn't his fault. He didn't have anything to do with it. How dare my mother put that stigma on me? No glory. Worse than that, Israel goes
for almost 100 years. Without the glory of God in the tabernacle. Oh, it went to Abinadab's house, but it wasn't supposed to be at Abinadab's house. It was supposed to be in the Holy of Holies. But nobody cared. Nobody was concerned. Nobody investigated it. I want to ask you, young man, young lady, where's the glory in your life? The Holy Ghost has come to search tonight. Be honest with yourself. Where's the glory? Not only was Ichabod a boy, but Ichabod became a nation. The reason Saul's kingship was filled with throwing javelins, visiting witches, and living in rebellion to the man of God is because his whole 40 years he never had the benefit of walking past the tabernacle and the glory inside the church. Without the glory, there's no end to what you'll do to fill the vacancy. Oh yes, he was king of Israel. Oh yes, he was head and shoulders above everybody. But he was but a tick, a mite, a small man in a spiritual warfare. Because there was no glory. There was no God. On this first night, and many nights to follow until the Lord listened, God's looking through this district at young people who from the outside, Brother Youth President, Brother Youth Secretary, they look real good. But I remember a young man at our camp used to sing in the trio. Played a saxophone, played the tambourine. It was the first time I ever really saw anybody really play a tambourine. I mean, tore it up. Could sing. Would sing. And I remember under that tin shed and sawdust floor as that trio would sing. And the glory would fall. People would shout and roll in that sawdust infested with crickets. 100-degree weather the last week of July. Somewhere along the line, at one point, all three of them lost out with God. Who would have ever thought it? Two of them got back. And are doing good. But one of them just recently was buried because he died of AIDS. The only girl that was my age in my church, he married her. And within a few years, she was running around on him. And he was running around on her. She was running around with college football players. He was running around with Sims. Turned his bedroom pink. Didn't think there was anything wrong with it, Pastor Smith. Something happened to his mind. And he began to say, I was born like this. And they buried him because AIDS took his life. Don't ever say it couldn't happen to you. Your talent doesn't impress God or the devil. Your ability doesn't impress anything in the spirit realm, the only thing that matters is, do you have the glory of God in your life? I'm preaching to young people tonight on Saturday night, first night of youth camp 1997. It may just be for a few, maybe just for a handful. But I've come to plead with you. Don't accept the name Ichabod. You may have come having just sinned greatly. You may have come with a secret habit. But I've come to tell you, if you'll go after the glory, you can leave this camp not an Ichabod, but you can leave like a David, shouting before the glory. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? You are to be the dwelling place of the Shekinah. Is there a young man who's lukewarm and lethargic that would step up out of his seat and say, that's it. I may not play in one ball game. I may not visit with one young lady. I may not go out with anybody. But I will leave with the glory. Come on, young people. It's every man for himself. Don't call me Ichabod. Not just a moment of prayer. Don't do it till you just cry. Don't do it till you just flap your tongue a little. Don't stop until you regain the glory. Let your glory fill this place.
Turn around.
Let your glory fill this place. Lord, our hearts are prepared.
Come on, even if you're in the aisle and you can't get down, throw your hands up. Come on, young lady. Come on, young man. Throw your hands up.
Holy Spirit, take control. Let this flesh be your abode.
Take over this camp, God.
Let your glory.
Take this camp over tonight. Take it over on this first night. Mess up our program. Turn our party upside down.
Let your glory fill this place. Lord, our hearts are prepared for you.